Good morning, everyone. Well, I say again, welcome to 2021. And we certainly left 2020 as a year of shock, a year that belongs to COVID, a year in which we saw the economy kind of collapsed. We saw the schools and the colleges kind of close and various businesses, and just your normal daily duties, your normal way of life was certainly changed or certainly shaken. And we find here that many people had experienced a sense of fear, a sense of debt, a sense of food shortages, housing concerns that took place. You can also add that there were relationships with people that changed. People were concerned about the election. They were concerned about their personal safety. And people were definitely concerned about finances. That's a big 2020 that I can recall. And I would have to say that people's behavior changed in 2020. And when we think about the behavior, not only the behavior, but their thoughts and just their actions also changed in 2020. But the question then goes out, what are Christians to do? Should we have that same side of a mindset that people have experienced and then where their behaviors, their thoughts, and all their actions, like everyone, should we be trusting more in God, looking to Him who is our everlasting strength, looking to Him for every outcome and every decision, and looking for God for every policy that's been in place? What should we be doing? And the question is, where's our faith? You know, are we trusting in the things that we see? Are we trusting in the things that we hear? Or are we trusting in the God who is in control of the universe? And when we think about this, you know, sometimes I wonder, are we forgetting that our God is sitting on the throne and He's yet our King, He's yet our Lord? And He's ruling over all the earth, He's ruling over all the sea, He's ruling over the space, He's ruling over the air, and we wonder what we should be doing. You know, a couple years ago or so, we looked at a scripture, and we can just turn to it right now in Colossians chapter 3. We can just turn to it in Colossians chapter 3, and just be reminded of these little words of encouragement that we can have from God's word. It says there in Colossians chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. And just again, set your affections, set your heart on things above. Look to God. Your life is certainly hid in Christ. It's with Christ in God. And we're looking for His coming. We're looking for the Lord's coming. These are some of the great truths that should motivate us as a Christian, and it should be controlling our lives. And if we fail to realize this, we get distracted. We also become like shipwrecked. You know, at work, we sometimes ask ourselves a question when we're in a pickle. Like, what are we doing here? Why? How do we get to this point in our decisions? And then, so then we have to evaluate what next should be done. What next should be done in terms of our Christianity, in terms of our faith, in terms of the position that we are in? Today, if we can use a word to describe what 2021 should look like, it's a word of, I would say, being determined to persevere, determined to persevere. There are so many changes as we recall in life, but just look at the word, persevere. It's a state whereby you're under opposition, you're under discouragement, there are many things that are influencing your situation, obstacles that are there, but you are going to persist. You are going to determine to, in spite of what's going on, that you will move through and you will uphold and you're going to keep going. You're going to stand firm throughout the circumstances that we're facing. And so, in spite of all the setbacks that we have seen in 2020, we as believers have to still stand and look to God for help and look to Him to pursue and persevere throughout all that is occurring. Remember, the world is looking for something. And we are out here. They should see our lives and see us and glorify God in everything that we do. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a Savior. And if we can show to the world that through Christ, in spite of these circumstances, that God is our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and our help, and He came to die for us, oh, what a change, what a world-changing event that would be. And all these things that we see will certainly come to pass. But we are not forgetting that there is an evil one that's in this world. So let's not forget ourselves and fool ourselves about that. But we are looking towards God, who is our help. And when we think about perseverance, when we think about just struggling through, going through COVID, the experiences that some people have, Charles Spurgeon actually used this word. He says, perseverance is described as a snail reaching the ark. I mean, how long does it take to get there? And every day you're striving to actually arrive at a place where God wants you to be, in the ark, safe with Him. And if we think about, we heard this morning of how blind man Bartimaeus, who was crying out to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was crying out and he's saying, "Have mercy on me," because he was blind. And he continued crying more, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." Looking unto Jesus, that's what we should be doing. Persevering, being strong, crying out to God. And watch what the wonderful Lord God Almighty will do in your life. And we can think of also the woman in Matthew chapter 15, the Syrophoenician woman, who therefore cried out unto God, "Have mercy on us, have mercy on me." For her daughter was sick and vexed with the devil. And Jesus kind of ignored her. And he told his disciples to, you know, get her away. But she continued crying out to Jesus to have mercy upon her. And so it was that our Lord Jesus looked at this woman and said, "Oh, she had great faith. She had great faith." And so it is in our lives, as we cry out and persevere unto God, that's what people should see. The faith, the longing, the desire, the seeking those things which are above, looking unto Him, in spite of all the adversities and the circumstance we come around, the world can see that, and if they continue to see that, then they can see their hearts turn, because you're an example of what the Lord Jesus wants your life to be. And then we can think of another example in Scripture before we start explaining perseverance for a second. We can think of Daniel, who was, in spite of all the tests that he had in his life, remember that he had to eat pulse, as he would say. He would have to eat porridge, and he'd eat vegetables instead of eating the king's meat. It was a test of that, to see if he's going to be fatter, if he's going to be fairer than the rest of people around. And his friends, remember, they were tested to not bow down to the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And they were tested with that. And they were thrown into the furnace of fire. And the Lord, the image of the Son of God was there. And we find there that Daniel again was tested in terms of with the chains of gold and the becoming the third rule in the land at a time when Babylon was going to be falling down. And we also find that Daniel was tested in prayer, in fervent prayer, in where people didn't want him to pray to the true and living God. And he was thrown into the lion's den. And we find that he was saved, he was delivered. And so it is sometimes as believers, we're going to be tested. And as we can find here, as Daniel said there in Daniel chapter 1 in verse 8, he purposed in his heart, and this is what we all need to do, we purpose in our heart that we won't defile yourself with anything relating to God. And so we ask God this year in 2021, as we persevere and we determine to persevere, let us be like those we just mentioned in Scripture, that constantly calls on the name of the Lord, that one that actually purpose in your heart to serve the Lord, and that one that actually looks to him and set our affections on the things that are above. So let's look at this word, persevere. I've taken the word and made an acronym out of it. And so we use the word, the first letter, prayer, for P. That is that we are all to pray to God. This year in 2021, we should be praying even more to God. We should exalt the name of our Lord even more. Set his name of God on high. And then we should restore. We can think of God as the great restorer, the God of second chances. And we'll look at a few verses on that. And we should also seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in 2021, right? We should emulate those things that are good. There's a lot of things going on in this world that are not good. And we ask your God as believers that we should emulate those things that are good, the things of God. We should also have V for virtue, a good moral character. It should always be with us as we walk around in 2021. And E for eschew, we should turn away from evil, from all our bad things, the bad ways of life. And R, to walk aright in the ways of God in 2021. And finally, E for excellent. Again, we should have an excellent spirit, just like Daniel did, right? We should be extraordinary people for the things of God. And may God be glorified in all our actions and all our thoughts as we bring forth this new year. You know, in terms of looking at P for prayer, there's a plaque in our house behind my dining room window, above my dining room window. It says there, prayer changes things. Everybody knows these phrases, but yes, prayer does change things. And sometimes when we pray, there is not always an answer that occurs today. I was talking to Brother Andrew this week, and he says, you know, he has a prayer meeting with one of the brothers in the islands every Tuesday night. And they pray the same prayer all the time and over again. And they make a list of the things where God has answered, but they continue praying the same prayer all the time. And so we should have a prayer list. You know, I fail to do that myself, but you should have a prayer list and where you've seen that the things in which God has answered and things in where he has continued to answer. And yet we ask God for his will to be done. The scripture says there that in Luke chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus said that we're always to prayer. We should always to prayer and don't faint. We shouldn't lose heart when we pray. And so it is, Paul says that we should continue to pray without ceasing. And all these verses we're going to use today are very familiar verses, but it's important for us in 21 to actually think about them and be refreshed about it. We should continue to pray in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, without ceasing, never stop praying. And as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, that we should watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And so that's what it is. That's our desire, is constant prayer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ourselves sometimes fall short in that. We tend to talk a lot about things that's going on around, and then do we focus on just bowing down and praying to God and listening for him and watching for what he will do? Our Lord Jesus asked us to pray for our enemies in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. He says, pray for them. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good unto them that hate you. And pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. And this is starting to grow in 2021. Our Lord Jesus also prayed for us in John chapter 17 and verse 15. He prayed that thou would keep them from the evil one. That's what Jesus prayed for us. Keep us from the evil one. And so our Lord Jesus prayed for us, and we should also be an example, as we use the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he also taught the disciples how to pray. And so we should be taught of the Lord how to pray and pray hard. One of the things that I was talking to Brother George's daughter yesterday, and she says, Philip, we need to pray for those people that socially disagree with us, that God gives us the grace and help to deal with each other. I mean, that's popped up in 20, and it's continuing also in 2021. Let us look at, you know, the scripture says there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we can turn to that, because Paul is writing again, and he says to us here, I exhort you therefore, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort you therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that's in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. And it continues. But the idea that Paul is telling Timothy here in his letter, that you should pray and pray hard, fervent, intercessory prayers for everyone, also for the leaders, the kings, the leaders of the governments, and that you can have a quiet and peaceable life. That's amazing. Life. And so that's what Paul is asking for, was to pray for those that are in government. We also should pray for each other. As Paul was writing there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, we should pray for fellow believers, and also pray with fervent prayers for the saints. And this is what we should be doing in 2021. We all stand in the need of prayer. And then let's look at this Ephesians chapter 1. We'll finish on this little topic here, hopefully. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. You know, Paul again is writing for us here in terms of our prayers. And he's saying that in verse 18 it says there, I'll just start at verse 16. Cease not to giving thanks unto you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and so forth. So Paul here is writing, and he's saying to you all that there's certain prayers that you should have. A prayer for you to understand the hope that is in you. A prayer for you to understand the riches of the glory that of God that's in you and the power of Christ's resurrection. As we think of 2021, what is the hope that is in you? What is this hope that is in you? The hope of your calling. It is that destiny, that what God has called you for, and he has called us unto him. Paul writes about the oneness that we have with Christ. that we have because of he came and he died and he rose again. And so it is we ask God for help us to understand and be enlightened so our eyes can understand fully, our hearts can understand the hope that God has in you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the riches that we have in this inheritance, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints that God has given unto us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance, a promise of the Holy Spirit. We also become a child of God. And when since we become a child of God, he is our father, and also we are his children. And so we have this great possession in Christ Jesus. And then we should pray that we should understand the great exceeding power, the great exceeding power that is in that is in Christ Jesus, that same power that you have that can raise the dead can also make you alive in Christ Jesus. And so as we think about how your life has been changed from a dead work of life to a life that's alive in Christ Jesus, that great power that he has, we should think about these things. We pray about them. Say, Lord, help us to understand as we set our affections and things above, these types of spiritual understandings in which God has shown to us, these truths that God has shown to us, that we can know and we can be enlightened and we can have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of God our Savior. And we should continue asking God to open our eyes, ceaseless, don't stop, keep going. And we should understand these things because God has a great plan for you and for me. And you know, one thing Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, verse 2, and then further on, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. One of the phrases that actually comes out there in a prayer that Paul is writing is that we should know the will of God for your life. Know the will of God in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, as he writes there. So as you said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We want you to think what God thinks. Think like how God thinks, in the way he thinks, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and the will of God. What is the wishes? What is the will of God for you in your life? Think the way God thinks. And this could help us to transform what we should be in 2021. Give your body to Christ. Let your body be a living sacrifice for him. We ask that, in a sense, don't love the world, right? So the scripture says here that you should be separate yourselves from the world. And then we also think about the fact that just your mind, your mindset should also be changed, as we read there in Romans chapter 12. And we should continue to pray faithfully in verse 12 of Romans chapter 12, rejoicing in hope, praying in tribulation, and continuing instantly in instant prayer. So that's what some of the aspects of prayer that we can look at before the Lord. If we can think of the letter E in persevere, we can think of the letter E to exalt, to set on high and rise up and lift up. And the Psalms write so many verses about that. You know, it says there in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 3, it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The name of the Lord is to be praised. It's a wonderful name. We can lay hold of it. It's salvation to us, right? So let us exalt his name in 2021. In Psalm 30 verse 1, it says, as we think about God, his name to be exalted, he is our help. So the verse says, I will extol the Lord. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast helped me and has not made me my foes to rejoice over me. God is our help. So let's exalt the Lord. Let's lift his name on high because he helped me. And in Psalms 99 verse 5, it talks about we can exalt the name of the Lord because his name is holy. He is holy. And in Psalms 118 and verse 28, thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. We praise and exalt the name of God because we lift the name on high because He is our God, and we can know that He is our rock and He is our defender. And then the great wonder in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. Again, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things, and thy counsels of old are faithfulness and true. Our God's counsel is therefore divine. You can test it, you can see what He has done, and it's steadfast, it's certainly sure. And so let it exalt the name of the Lord, because He is great. And we should praise the Lord. He's our God, and rejoice in this God that we have. And then we can think of the letter R in persevere. We can think of restore that comes to mind. We have a God that's a God of second chances, a God that heals, a God that transformed. We look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He had compassion on the many people that He met. He was healing them. And He looked to them and He gave them their life back. Some people were blind. Maybe some didn't have sight before, but some, whatever, they got ailments, their sickness. He even transformed their life. People who were sinners, the prostitute, we can think of her, her life being transformed. And when we think of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, He gave us life. We were once dead, right? Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. They walked with God in the cool of the day. Adam did and Eve did, and they can talk with God. Sin came into the world. We lost that relationship like that Adam had and Eve had. And so death came in. And we have today, and we can think about the Lord Jesus Christ who gives unto us a life. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. God wants to restore us to our rightful place. And life eternal. And so we can think of this God that's a restoring God. Many times in Scripture, you find there, even in Deuteronomy chapter 30, you can think of the fact that God has always been looking at Israel as an example for us. Israel is an example when they sinned and walked away from God. And they went off to their own way. And God brought much evil and He scattered them all around. And when you think of the fact that when they turned back to Him, the Scripture says, then when you turn back to God, to your captivity, I'll have compassion upon you. I will gather you back again, whether the Lord thy God, where He had scattered you. And He's going to restore, and He's going to help you, and He's going to give you that land that you're going to have there. So there is this idea that there is, if you walk away from the Lord, weird things happen. God wants you always to be in His presence, enjoying His beauty and His fellowship and the spiritual food that He has given unto us. This is peace. This brings joy. This brings satisfaction. And sometimes we go after, we crave as the children of Israel, they crave after the gods of the land of that other people should not be craving. They can't hear, they can't see, they can't think, they can't talk. And they fall into all manner of sin. But we thank God that He is therefore a merciful God that wants to restore you and bring you back. I can think of an example there in Isaiah chapter 56, and we're looking at that this week. You can just look at this if you want, Isaiah chapter 56. There's four verses in there. The Scripture is talking about two sets of people. One is a stranger, you know, a child of a stranger. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 3. And then we have someone who was a eunuch. We'll expand upon this. But it says here that in Isaiah 56 and verse 3, it talks about the fact that this son of a stranger joined himself to the Lord. Like he found the Lord. Even the eunuch, who was a eunuch, is someone who has parts of their sexual organs cut off. And some people are born eunuch, some people are made eunuch, some people are forced into eunuch. But we think of the eunuch, or I can even think of the prostitutes. We have today male and female prostitutes for a reason. But here, these people have no fellowship inside the temple. They couldn't go and worship in the same place in where the children of Israel had the privilege of worshiping. So they find that these people came back and they trusted the Lord. So what happened? As an example in the application of this story, the eunuch is saying, you know, I'm dried up. I have no purpose in life, right? I you know, I'm outside, I'm separated, but I also have no purpose. But once we find out that in verse 4, that God is saying to the eunuch, if you keep my Sabbaths, if you keep the things that I've outlined in how to worship before God, and you choose the things that please me, and you take a hold of my covenant, I'm going to give you, I will give in my house and within my walls a name better than the sons and daughters, better than that. I will give you an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And then he also says to the stranger that if you join to the Lord, if you serve the Lord, and if you love his name, and you become a servant of God, and everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and taking it of my covenant, even them I will bring into my holy mountain, will make them joyful in the house of my prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted unto mine altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. So we have here these two groups of people couldn't really get into the same place of worship. They're outsiders. They're outsiders. And we today are sometimes outsiders in terms of our relationship with God. But here, God wants to give the eunuch a name, an everlasting name, and to the stranger to be included. The outcasts, God wants to gather them. And as we sung the hymn this morning, Jesus sought me when I was a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. We find there in Ephesians chapter 2 that the people whose life was ruined by sin, dead by sin, can now have mercy of God, can now have the love of God, and they can be included into that wonderful relationship with Christ, where we can be made alive with Christ and we can be raised up with him and we can be seated. So there's an inclusion for us to be there. And those people who are Gentiles, who were excluded, the unsaved, we didn't have a privilege. We were like a stranger. We were the ungodly. We were the hopeless people, can now be brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have this new relationship in where we can have in Christ Jesus, because he died for our sins. A wonderful restoration occurred, a wonderful change in our life and occurred. Just like the those eunuchs that didn't have a name, that was given a new name, right? We read this morning in Revelation chapter 22. In a sense, it was kind of discussed this morning. The Lamb is going to give us a name, and it's going to be on his forehead. The Lamb's name is going to be in our forehead. But we also read a new name, someone said this morning. A new name will be given, which no man knoweth. And this is the joy that we can have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can have his name, and God promises us a new name. And then we can think of the Lord as in this particular reference of seeking the Lord for us, that we should seek the Lord. You know the scripture says, seek the Lord while you may be found, call upon him while he's near. And the scripture says, but in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We have an amazing truth that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, asks us to seek him. The prophet told us that in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, that we should seek the Lord. But then Jesus, God the Father, told the woman at the well that the Father is seeking those to worship him. So this is like this, the door is open, and Christ Jesus' word is going out, your life, my life, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father is seeking those to worship him. Those to worship him. We asked in the scripture that it says there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people, which called by my name, shall humble themselves in prayer and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. This is also the land we're living in today, if you can apply this verse to us. We are people of God in here. And this country has people of God. There are many countries that have people of God. But God wants to heal your land. He wants you to come and ask for forgiveness of your sins, to humble yourself before him. He wants you to dwell with him, to seek after him, and dwell in his house, and dwell in his presence, and enjoy the beauty of the Lord, and to see a transformed life, to seek the Lord and his strength and his face continually. 1 Colossians 16:11. Seek the Lord. And we can think of E, to emulate, things to imitate, as Christ asks us to imitate Christ. Paul asks us to mimic, copy him. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, there's a lot of words called let us. Let us draw near as we think about emulating Christ. Let us draw near, in a sense, with a sincere heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with our hearts having sprinkled from every evil conscience. We have salvation in us, and we've been sanctified by God. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us draw near, let us hold fast to our profession of faith in which we have. Walking out here and encouraging one another, provoking one another unto love and good works, and not forsaking the assembly. Let us draw and forsake the assembly. These are some examples in which by we're to emulate in our lives as we walk out in this world. I will quickly run through the rest because time is not on my side at the present moment. But we have virtue, which is a good moral character that we should have. And we can think of those things that are virtuous that we're supposed to ask our Lord to do. So we think of Philippians 4:8. I can show these scriptures out. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And also verse 5. And our life is to add virtue. We have to add virtue in our life so the world can see that. And the Lord Jesus will be glorified. And let us, in E, as that's eschew, let us turn away from evil. All the bad, worthless, depraved things, we shall turn away from them. We clearly see that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. And we're to abstain from all appearance of evil in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. And also in Romans 12:9, those two words, abhor evil. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear, in the fear of God. And what are we to do in persevere? We are to be right. We are to walk in the right ways in which God has outlined for us in the Word. To have an understanding and to have wisdom. It says here in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9, who is wise? And he shall understand these things, the prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. The just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So there is the way of the Lord that we should walk that is right. And it will transform our hearts. We have a verse that we normally sing there in Psalms 19, verse 8. It says the statutes, which is the word of God, the law of the Lord, all these words, they are right, and it rejoices the heart. And if you keep them, it says here, the statutes of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, if this one here is so right, more to be a desire to they than money. We should desire the word of God more than the money, and even sweeter than the honeycomb, more than food, right? It is a great desire that we should have for the word of God. And by them, the scripture says, is thy servant warned. And there is a great reward, the psalmist says there, when we desire the word, the right word of God. It says there, we are to walk in the law of God and have his word hidden in us that we can know that which is right. And if we can end with the E in a sense, I'm brushing through here the scripture, we can just look at Daniel, for example, his particular lifestyle. As Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, he purposed in his heart as a young boy, in a sense, or a teenager, he purposed in his heart as he went there as captive over in Babylon. And so we find there that the scripture therefore went and talked about all the things in which Daniel was. But one of the things we find that he had was an excellent spirit. He had this extraordinary person. He was an extraordinary person. He had an excellent spirit in him. And God gave to him and his friends knowledge and wisdom. And so Daniel became this great guy for the Lord. As quiet as he was, God used him in a very special way. And we find here that in Daniel 6 and verse 3, he was preferred. He was preferred above all the other presidents or all the other presidents of the princes. He was just that person that the kings had wanted. Well, we ask, O Lord, that as you live your life this year in 2021, that you would persevere, determined to persevere, be that right, excellent person in which our Lord wants you to live, and that we should also, in a sense, as we look through these words here, be a person of prayer. Commit yourself to prayer. Commit yourself to praising the Lord and exalting the Lord, knowing that God restores and he helps, and we should seek and we should emulate those things that are good, have a good moral character, turn away from evil, walk in the right ways of the Lord, and to have an excellent spirit in our lives. May God be glorified in all that we do in all our actions. One of the hymns we're going to quote for a second, I don't know if we have time to sing it, but it says there, if you can just look at these words as the number 5 in the book. It says here, our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is the arm, is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth receive her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Set our affections on things above. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time in where we have had looking into your word. For this year, we ask, O Lord, that we would continue, keep looking up, looking unto you, in where our desires, our affections, our joy, our peace, our satisfaction comes from our God above. And may you, O Lord, help us each and every day as we walk in this world, that you would guide us and give us the wisdom and understanding how to reach others, how to tell others about Christ, and that, O Lord, that we would be equipped, continuing reading his word, to let our lights be a shine forth, effervescent, bubbling forth the joy of the Lord, even in the circumstances and the dangers and the sicknesses and the sadness that we live in. We thank you, Lord, that you're in control of all. And we are looking for your coming, Lord Jesus. We are looking for your coming, where one day you'll take us away from this place. We ask, O Lord, that you would just comfort our hearts, guide our thinking and our thoughts, and let us walk aright before you now as we depart in all this. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.